how can we not consider the one who this world would consider a slave, how can we not consider them to be our brother? He taught us, Jesus taught us to love one another. He showed us the way of peace with God. And it's His power and His glory that we want to proclaim evermore, because He is the Lord. That third verse there, you probably noticed my voice sounds a little different this morning. I'm fighting a little bit of a tickle in my throat, and I couldn't help myself. It's a good thing my mic was turned off, because my voice is cracking, trying to belt out those words, because to me they're just so powerful. The truth that's there is so transformational, and I couldn't do it. So that's why I have this. This morning, I want to continue to consider that we are called to give like God. God, Jesus Christ, is the greatest revelation of who God is for us. He's the one that we can most connect with. And we're called to live our life as though God were living our life, as though He were walking in our shoes. That's one of the images we can use to help us understand, help us to practically live out that Christ lives in us. That we're just not merely representatives of Christ, but actually Jesus Christ in the heart of anyone who follows Him. Jesus wants to live His life. He wants to empower us. He has given us everything we need. There goes my voice again. Everything we need to live life as God has shaped, designed, and has called us to. And yes, we struggle with that, because we still struggle with the consequences of sin. And we still struggle with living in a world that is so affected by sin. But we have been given everything we need. God has given so abundantly. He has given beyond what is reasonable to us. And our call as His people is to learn to give, not to the same measure, not to the same degree, because we can't give in that way like God. We're not that powerful, but we are called to give in the same kind of way, the same type of purpose that God has given to us. We looked at that somewhat last week. This week, I want us to explore the question of why. Why has God given in such abundant measure? Why did God give to you and give to me beyond reason? Why? Why did Jesus choose, God the Son, choose to leave heaven, come as a human being for us? Why would He choose to offer His life as a substitute, as a sacrifice for your sin? Why would God do that? Why would God offer us adoption into His family? Why would He choose to give you everything you need to live life as He has shaped and crafted and designed you to live it? Why would He do that? See, I have to admit that there are times that I really struggle to accept and understand and trust all that God has given me. There are times where, basically, it just causes me to not live out all that God has given me to live. Whether it's in promises, or whether it's calling, or whatever it is. Because sometimes there's moments I doubt that God would actually give me that much. It's just, sometimes I go back and go, there's times where in the past I done things, or I made decisions or didn't make decisions, and those moments come where it's go, God, you really can't use me to do that. Or, because I've done this in the past, future opportunities are lost to God. God, you cannot, I don't see how you could redeem or restore that or bring that back. Sometimes I just doubt that God would even give me more than he's already given. That's just something Bridget and I were talking about actually a couple weeks ago, just how abundantly blessed we have felt by God in these last number of months. And yet there's things that we're still praying for and still working with and working through, and there just comes that point where we've received so much, we struggle to kind of, would God do even more than he's already done? And we struggle. Doubts and fears come in different ways, and all of them basically have the effect of keeping me from living out to the full, taking God's gift with both hands and just running with it to its fullness. And I know something. I know I'm not alone. I know each one of you has the same kind of thing. It may be in different areas of life, but there are things that happen where you go, God, you can't do this. Or, God isn't going to give me any more. There's a fear that we can have that just causes us to doubt or question God's promises or God's gift, that we just don't get past. Or there's a circumstance that calls us to question what God has proclaimed about us. Sometimes we just doubt that, God, have you really called me your child? God, do you really mean that I don't have to earn it? I don't have to be good enough to be blessed by you? Every single one of us in some way, in some area of our life, definitely in the past, possibly even today, you've had those times where you've struggled to believe that God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. And I hear it in these amazingly routine phrases. Things like, have you ever caught yourself thinking this or heard someone else say this? Well, you know what? It's just always going to be this way. The situation I'm facing right now, you know what? It's never going to change. My workplace, the culture, my boss, they're never going to change. Or my family situation, you know, the relationship I have with this person or that person or family, it's never going to change. It's always been this way. It's always going to be that way. Think about that phrase. What that phrase says is God is not more powerful than that situation. God cannot bring change there. That's what that phrase says. Or I've heard people say this. You know, that's just the way I am. Have you ever caught yourself saying that or thinking that about yourself? You know, I struggle with this, but you know, that's just the way I am. What that's, you know, maybe you're recognizing a certain aspect of your personality. That's not good or bad, it just is. I'm talking about those times where I struggle with this, and I've struggled with it, and I've struggled with it, or there's something in me that does not want to do this, and go, you know what, and it's an excuse. You know, that's just the way I am. That's just the way, sometimes I've even heard people say this, that's just the way God made me. Excuse me? No, see, we have these statements that we make that really become excuses, and not even excuses, they're statements of doubt. They're statements that say, God is not more powerful than this. God is not more powerful than the habit that I've been trying to break. God is not more powerful than the relationship that I've been trying to reconcile. God can't give me enough to make a difference. We make statements like that. We have thoughts like that. Those are thoughts that Satan loves to plant in our minds and our hearts. That's just the way you are. God can't use you. Things will never change. Give up. What happens is we give up hope. We give up a confidence that God can and already has given what is needed for us to see change happen, transformation in our own life or transformation through us, that God can use us in some way to make a difference in the situations we find ourselves in.
I want us to consider this morning why God has given beyond reason. Because to me, I'm a why kind of guy. My science teacher hated me in chemistry. He hated me because I was always asking why. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out why certain things worked and processes worked in certain ways. I kept having to know the why. If you tell me the why, then I can conceptualize it. Then I can figure it out. Then it makes sense to me. But unfortunately, his answer is, well, that's just the way it is. Drive me nuts. And then I'd keep asking why, and it'd drive him nuts. And we had a wonderful relationship for all of about 4 months, and then I stopped taking chemistry. I just wasn't going to be the way I was going to go. I think if we look at why God has given so abundantly to us, to everyone, maybe we can get a glimpse that helps us move past those doubts, move past our fears, move past those barriers that we set up that keeps God from moving more powerfully within our own lives, and because of that, in the lives of those around us. So the question this morning, why does God continue to give to humanity in ways that are beyond reason? And here's my answer for this morning. Maybe you're already spinning and thinking, I know what the answer is, I know what he's going to say. Probably not. Here's my answer. The reason why God has given beyond reason is for his glory. Usually, in a North American context, we'd go, well, because he loves us. Yes, that's part of it. Yes, that is integral into this, because God is characterized by love. But the purpose, the outcome of why God has given is for his glory. And that can sometimes maybe sound a little arrogant to us, because if we would do something for our own glory, or we know people who do things so that they will be honored, that they will be praised, and that's just arrogant. Doing something for your own glory is arrogant, unless you're God, because he's the only one who deserves all the glory. Again, just the definition of glory. I want to be clear here. This is a word we use in church, and sometimes we don't understand what it means. The word glory, the definition is the power or the authority, the purpose, the mission, the character, the qualities, the abilities of someone or something in action. See, until power or abilities are acted upon, it's only potential. Until a mission or a purpose is acted upon, it's only intentions. Glory comes, glory is given, glory is merited when action that reveals power, authority, purpose, mission, goals, abilities is demonstrated, is revealed. Jude ended his letter. Not too many sermons on the letter of Jude, but we're going to take at least one verse out of it this morning. Jude ends his letter. He was a half-brother of Jesus. He ends his letter this way. All glory to him alone who is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. What Jude is saying is all glory. And in the context of the letter, what Judas is saying is the ultimate glory, the highest praise, the highest honor, the highest demonstration of the most powerful being there is, that's God. It's all his. There's no one who deserves more glory. There's no one who deserves more recognition for who he is and what he has done and what he will continue to do than God. And it has always been that way. It is that way today, and it will always be that way. That is something that we can say truthfully, without limiting God. That's just the way it is and will always be. God gives so abundantly so that we will give him glory, that we will see him in action and acknowledge, hopefully, who he is, what he has done, what he has done for us, and that we will respond, again, in action. God has given so we would respond. John wrote these words about Jesus becoming human, about the reason behind Christmas. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus became human. Jesus was born so that God would be glorified, that we would see God and respond. You know, Jesus told his disciples there's a time where they're asking him, you know, Jesus, show us the Father. Show us God. And Jesus, it's just my personality. I see Jesus kind of stopping and going, guys, don't you get it yet? If you've really seen me, if you've watched me, if you've been watching, you hear how I teach, you see how I interact with people. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus was the greatest revelation of the character and heart and purpose of God that we as human beings could ever possibly connect to. We were created by God. See, Jesus came so that God would be glorified. You were created by God to give him glory. That's part of your design, purpose, mission statement, right? When you were stamped by God, so to speak. That's your purpose. That's your mission. It's to give him glory. Paul said these words, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. He said in Romans, do not let any part of your body become an instrument. Actually, the word could also be translated here, weapon, which is a guy kind of connects you a little bit more. Become an instrument, become a weapon of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but you now have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. That's Paul talking to the church in Rome saying, this is the purpose you've been shaped for. This is why God came to redeem you. It's so that you could give God glory, so that God could be seen in you and he would receive glory. There's a famous historical document called the Westminster Catechism. It comes out of the English Reformation in the 1640s. It was a teaching document for the church to help church members understand basic doctrine. One of the questions, because it was kind of a question-answer format, one of the questions is, what is the chief end of man? What is the significant, ultimate purpose of humanity? The answer, I love. Go for it.
To glorify God and to enjoy him forever.
To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Now, again, English changes over time. Remember the question, what is the chief purpose, singular, for humanity? The answer in the English sense is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It sounds like two things. The best way to understand it, again, giving the language change over 400 years almost, 360 years, today we would rephrase it this way. It's to glorify God by enjoying him forever. That's our purpose. We are to glorify God by enjoying him. And that can go on for eternity. And that's the design. That's the desire of God. God's desire to glorify himself, for us to give him glory, is not for selfish purposes. Okay, I just need to clear this. It's not so that he feels better about himself somehow, like he has a self-esteem issue. It's hard for us to trust that. I know people who have pushed back on this and say, well, God wants to glorify himself. It's a bit of an ego trip, isn't it? See, the purpose that God wants people to glorify himself is not so he can hoard all that glory and praise. It's actually God's desire. In Scripture, we see that he would share his glory with others. He wants to share his glory with his people. Paul said this, again in Romans, because of our faith, again, faith that's active pursuit of following Jesus. It's not just an intellectual assent. It's not just, oh, I agree with that information. Faith without works, says James, right, is dead. Faith without actually acting on following Jesus and accepting him as Lord is worthless. It's because of faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. Again, there's that God giving beyond reason. It's an undeserved, unmerited, unearned privilege, gift that we've been given by God. And Paul says that's where we now stand. If you're a follower of Jesus, that place of undeserved privilege, you're standing in it. That's your standing before God. And Paul says, because of that, we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. See, faith in Christ, following Jesus, brings access into the gift that God has for us all. Paul says this in 2 Thessalonians. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus. Jesus said this to God in his last prayer for the disciples. I have given them, the disciples, the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. Here again, it's God sharing his glory. That's his desire. It's not to hoard it, it's to share it with you. The purpose of God wanting to be glorified by you is so that he can share his glory with you. He can bring you into the experience, into the active presence, the active experience of his glory. Again, glory, the active display of his power, his abilities, his purpose, his mission, his character. God wants you to experience that. That's the life God wants you to be living every single day. Because when we bring glory to God, we share in that. He gives us kind of that junior partner experience into his mission and his kingdom. Paul says in Colossians, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Hear that? Christ lives in you. That's the assurance that God wants you, enables you, empowers you, not by yourself, not by your own ability, but by following Christ. He gives you the assurance, the promise that you can share in his glory. Jesus, when he was presented at the temple for the purification ritual required by the old covenant, there's an old man named Simeon who spoke these words over Jesus. Lord, now I can die in peace. As you promised me, I have seen the Savior you have given to all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Notice what's being said here. This to me is fascinating. Jesus was for all people. Okay, that's most of us, we've got that. We understand that. Jesus is for all people, not just for some. Wasn't just for the Jews. It's for all people, all nations. Jesus' purpose was to reveal God, was to be a light to the nations of who God was and what God was calling them to be and to do in relationship, into connection with him. But here we have this interesting phrase at the bottom. Jesus is the glory of your people, Israel. What was the purpose of the nation of Israel? We looked in the Leviticus series. I said this a number of times. What was the purpose of the nation of Israel? Why did God call them to be a nation? What did he shape them for? It was to be a light to the nations. That was their purpose. That was their job, so to speak. That was the mission, the calling God had for them. Here Simeon says, Jesus You are the glory of the nation of Israel. You are the one who will fulfill their mission. He will be the one to be the light. Because, just as part of this, because the nation had failed so miserably, Jesus would be the one to fulfill the calling of the nation of Israel. See, God shares His glory so that others would come to give Him glory, that others would come to see and to know Him. Paul says this to the church again in Rome. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey Him, bringing glory to His name. Or 2 Corinthians. Paul wrote this. All of this, and Paul here is talking about all of the suffering he's gone through, the persecution and the beatings and so on. He says, all of this is for your benefit. As God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving. Okay, so grace, that word is gift. As God's gift reaches more and more people, there will be thanksgiving. People will respond with thanks. And here's the result, Paul says. God will receive more and more glory. As more people come to accept the gift that God has given them, more people will come to give God glory, and the reason God will receive more glory is there's more people who are recognizing who He is and what He has done, and in turn they will go and reveal God to others, and this will just start a chain reaction. It will start a movement. It will have momentum, and it will carry forward as people will give God glory because they've received the gift God has for them. Why has God offered so much? It's to restore us to what we've been designed for. It's so that we can enjoy life with Him. And we're only going to do that in part in this world. Again, there's things that we struggle with. We live in a world that is far from what God designed it to be. But if we're willing to seek God on His terms and to come into His mission, we will see His power in and through us, and we will be a part of seeing people come to give God glory. Jesus said to the disciples, "When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." What is the fruit Jesus is talking about here? I'll tell you what I used to think it was. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. I thought that was the fruit Jesus is talking about here. Realize, while that's fruit mentioned in the Bible, that's fruit that's produced by the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That those qualities in a person's life are evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in them. Because again, an apple tree produces apples. A pear tree produces pears. The Holy Spirit produces the qualities of the Holy Spirit. What fruit does a disciple produce? The answer is disciples. That's the mark of a disciple of Jesus. The fruit of a disciple is someone who is involved in activities that encourage others to follow Jesus more closely, whether they already do or don't yet. A disciple of Jesus is someone that is involved in activities that will further develop people to allow God to shape their lives more closely to His. A disciple of Jesus invests their time in what builds God's kingdom, not theirs. A disciple of Jesus invests their money, which actually biblically isn't ours anyways, but just go with the phrasing for a moment. A disciple of Jesus invests their money in God's kingdom, not theirs. A disciple of Jesus invests their energy, their passion, allows God's kingdom to shape their ambitions to mirror God's kingdom purposes, not their own. But here's the neat thing. Because sometimes we make this an all or nothing proposition in some way. If you are a follower of Christ, guess whose kingdom you're in? God's. So the time you're investing in is also, God says, I share my kingdom with you. You have a share in it. So it's not that 100% of my time is given away to others. Not 100% of my money is given away to others, or my energy, or my passion. Because I am a part of, you are a part of God's kingdom. And so God knows, do you have bills? Yes. Has God given you an ability to pay those bills? Yes. How are we using his money, though? How are we using his time? Disciples, excuse me, knew that was going to happen at some point. Disciples of Jesus invest themselves in God's kingdom, understanding they are a part of that kingdom. And there is a share God has given to them for their own needs and for their own care. The issue we have as a North American society is we have a lot of needs that aren't really needs. We live in a consumer-based society. That's another set of sermons. God has given to you beyond what is reasonable so you could enter into his glory. You could share it with others because he shared it with you. Next week, we're going to look at more of that. God is the ultimate re-gifter. Some of you, you know, this is Christmas time. There's that term re-gifting, you know, the gifts that you get from someone else that, you know, gee, that's great. Who am I going to give that to? We're going to look at how God is calling us to be re-gifters. That we share the glory he's given to us. We share the gift he's given us so that others would enter into that and would receive benefits from that. We're going to look at that more next week. So I just want to back it up a step this morning in terms of application to this. And I'm going to go back to this verse that I said earlier. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Would you this week ask yourself this question? God, how are you calling me to glorify you today? Just ask yourself, how will you glorify God today? Because, you know, the design, the chief purpose that we've been made for is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. Well, forever is a long time and is really hard to plan for. So let's just take it a day at a time, shall we? How will you glorify God today? Ask God, Lord, how are you calling me? What have you given me that I can use within your kingdom today? What have you given me that I can bless someone else with so that you would receive glory, so that you would be praised? But I want you to take it one step further. I want you to actually reflect. At the end of your day, or maybe depending on just the rhythm of how you function, it works for me better at the beginning of the day, and I just look at the day previous. And just to stop and ask God, just take 5 minutes, ask God, looking back on the day before or the day that has been, God, where did you use me to bring you glory? Father, where were the places where I messed up? I failed to bring you glory. And it's safe to ask God that question because God does not condemn. God does not condemn anyone who is asking the question, God, where did I go wrong? Where did I take a misstep? It's safe to ask him those questions because we will learn from our successes, but we will learn even more, I found, from the places where we've fallen short. And just 5 minutes, ask God, God, in the day that's been or the day before, where did I bring you glory? Where were there greater opportunities that I just didn't see? And learn. Because the more you allow God to bring his gift into your life in fuller and fuller ways, the more you will glorify God, the more he will be able to share his glory, his active power and authority and peace and joy and love, his character. He will be able to bring more of that to be active in your life so that you can bring greater glory to Him in the eyes of those around you, whether they already are followers of His or not. It's our choice. Because we can sing about glorifying God, we can talk about glorifying God, but unless we're going to pause and spend time with God to learn from Him, it might just remain words or songs. And the kingdom of God is not about words. It's a kingdom of power. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You this morning that You are God who has given so abundantly so that we could enter into a share, a portion of Your glory, that we can experience Your love, not just for us, but that we can see others in the same eyes, with the same perspective that You see them. Father, I just want to thank You for the children that are downstairs right now. Father, thank You for the opportunity that they are having to learn that there are those who are in need. Father, would You teach them that life is not about them. Life is not about the stuff they can get, but life is about following You and taking the gift that You have given them so that they can share it with others. And Father, I pray that for them, recognizing fully that the example that they will look up to are not only their parents, but also are those of us in this room here. Father, would You cause us to lead the way for our children to see how life with You can be lived. Father, would You glorify Yourself through us? And would You lead us into the ways and practices, the relationships that we need to do that? Father, You've given us everything we need to live a life that will glorify You. May we be faithful. And may we continue to glorify You. And all God's people said, Amen. I just want to give you this closing thought. Jesus said in prayer to the Father just before His crucifixion, I have brought glory to You here on earth by completing the work You gave me to do. How many of you know Calvin and Hobbes, cartoon strip? Probably my second favorite one. There's one where Calvin says to Hobbes, Hobbes is his little stuffed tiger. Calvin says, God has put me on earth to do so many things. And right now I'm so far behind, I'll never die. Maybe sometimes you feel that way. I just want to encourage you with this. God has created you for a purpose. He has a plan for you, a plan that includes even this afternoon, even the conversation that you might have as you leave this room. God has a plan for you. Here's the overall picture. I just want to remind you again. This is the assignment God gave us as His church to fulfill. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. You don't go on assignment alone. Even when you might be in a workplace or you might be in your home or wherever you may be physically alone. You are not alone. Jesus Christ is with you, and He is faithful to complete His work. The issue is not God. Will we make the choice to follow Him? Go in God's peace and His power, and would you just share in and share with others His glory? Go in peace.